Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
This is the official Caps Chirp podcast, proudly a part of the Hockey Podcast Network. Every team, everywhere. What's going on, Caps fans? It's me, the Hockey Troll, and I am here with that snack, Polly Cupcakes.
It's me, Polly Cupcakes. Polly Cupcakes.
Capstones, we've got a great episode for you today. We're going to be talking about, a little bit of injury reports just right off the bat real quick. And then we'll be going into our segment-based Thursday episode where I'm going to bitch about the fantasy of center depth that the Washington Capitals have. And Polly, what are you going to talk about?
Captains being exposed.
Oh, Captain, my captain is exposed in the fantasy or in the expansion draft.
And by the time this drops, one or more of them may have been selected.
Absolutely. But first, DraftKings Sportsbook is not only my favorite sportsbook, but also America's top-rated sportsbook. Speaking of America, our top athletes are over in Tokyo competing for the gold, and DraftKings has a medal-worthy offer just for our listeners. Listen to this great offer. Place any pre-event wager of $1 to be eligible to cash $100 in free credits. If America wins any medal this year, that's 101 odds on an American athlete to stand on the podium and receive gold, silver, or bronze this week. 101 odds on an offer like this doesn't come around often, so sign up for DraftKings Sportsbook now to get in on all the action. I love using DraftKings Sportsbook. It's easy to navigate, has plenty of instructions for new bettors, and nearly limitless ways to get in on all of the action. My friends and family have been loving DraftKings Sportsbook, and I know you will too. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free credits if an American wins a medal. That's code THPN to turn $1 into $100 in free credits for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Again, that is DraftKings Sportsbook. Code THPN. Use it and thank us later.
Thank us later.
All right. Well, Pauly, I think we should get right into it. Let's pop some tabs, eh?
Yeah.
One, two, three.
Yeah.
that was not on purpose. Oh my god. I just hit puberty.
Holy shit. Okay. Well, for any new listeners out there, that's not Polly's real voice, but it's fucking hilarious. Let's start off with some injuries that we've got a report on after the fact of the Stanley Cup being awarded to the Tampa Bay Lightning. Victor Hedman is expected to be ready for next season after the Tampa Bay Lightning fits and played in the Stanley Cup playoffs with a torn meniscus in his knee. I don't know if that's going to require surgery, but most likely, if it's torn.
Yeah, and I think, you know, a lot of people in everyday life have a torn meniscus that they are able to still live with,
mm-hmm.
but that doesn't mean it doesn't hurt like a bitch.
Right, right. Exactly. And I mean, you know what's crazy? Because just a little personal story. My knees were never really hurting ever. Never, you know, knock on wood, had any knee injuries or problems, like a weakness or anything like that with them. But I started playing golf and I feel it in my knees a lot. And I think it has to do with the torsion effect
mm-hmm.
of like really twisting my knee, and maybe it's my fucked up swing, but
yeah, I mean, I think more people should have respected Tiger's ACL tear.
Seriously. And broken leg. Like, he broke a leg doing that shit too.
Yeah.
Insane. That's what happens when you hit like 1,000 balls a day.
Yeah.
It's no joke. Moving on though, forward, Barclay Goodrow and defenseman Ryan McDonagh each played in the postseason with a broken hand. Wow. Goodrow scored 6 points, 2 goals, 4 assists, and tied for second on the Lightning with 68 hits in 18 post games. McDonagh had 8 assists in 23 games and was second on the team to Hedman in ice time per game, 22.50. And he blocked 46 shots. Crazy. Fucking crazy. Nikita Kucherov, who led the postseason in scoring with 32 points, 8 goals, and 24 assists in 23 games, sustained a broken rib in the semifinals against the Islanders and missed 0 games.
And I have playoff in all caps there because he missed the entire damn season.
Right.
But then was healthy for the playoffs. But, you know, playing through rib injury, that's not easy.
Mm-mm.
I mean, every breath you take, every movement,
every breath you take, hit. Yeah,
yeah.
Every move you make,
yeah. No, again, that was not on purpose. Oh my gosh,
you're just full of it today, bud.
I am.
Nice, but yeah, you're right. I mean, that's, and you know, he left, and everybody was calling him soft, and I was like, really? Is he really leaving because he's that hurt? Apparently, yes, he was very hurt.
He was.
Yeah. Alex Killorn missed the final 5 games of the Stanley Cup final because of a broken fibula. That's a broken leg?
Yes, in the shin.
Jesus. Sustained in game 1 against the Canadiens. The forward had surgery 3 days after the injury and was skating 5 days later. What?
Sounds like if this had happened like first round, he might have been back for the cup.
That's fucking nuts, dude. Over to Montreal. Petrie's bloodshot eyes were from passing out when they popped his finger back into place following his Game 3 injuries versus Winnipeg. He missed Game 4 and Game 1 versus Vegas, then returned. He's having a follow-up appointment to determine if surgery is needed. Wow. It wasn't from a demon or drugs.
Yeah, it wasn't blood magic.
Yeah.
Like many people thought.
Right. Well, damn. I mean, crazy. Head coach Dominic Ducharme and Gallagher played through a groin injury in the playoffs. How did the head coach get a groin injury?
He said Gallagher played through.
Oh, said Gallagher. Sorry. Head coach Dominic Ducharme said Gallagher. Sorry. I've said and.
You did.
Yeah. Sorry. So Gallagher had a groin injury. Shea Weber played through a thumb injury during the playoffs. Gallagher also got his head smashed and was bleeding all over. Remember that? Yeah.
In the horrifying act of violence.
Right. He could have died, literally. Could have died. All right. Well, that's, you know, and yeah, we're over here glorifying these rich billionaires, millionaires taking advantage of their workers here again, aren't we, here, Paulie?
This toxic work culture.
Yeah, yeah. You got a broken rib? Show up to work, you fuck. Or I'll fire you.
buy out your contract.
Right. And you'll still walk away with half of it. I think this is pretty badass. I mean, the Tampa Bay Lightning, who seemed unbeatable, were like in God mode. We're playing through some stuff.
Yeah, and I'm not a fan of either team, so I didn't watch them enough to know if you could tell they were playing through it or not. But as someone who didn't watch them all season, none of these guys looked hurt to me.
Right. Crazy, man. Crazy, crazy. So, you know, congrats to them, and hopefully they recover and, you know, do good.
Do good.
Do good.
Good stuff. Good things.
Yeah. Well, look, I am just, I'm like the
chomping at the bit.
The hate is flowing through me, like, just so much after this past week and two really bad beer league losses. I mean,
you got that Anakin hate.
Yeah, I'm just gonna, let's get into the Hockey Troll Hip Check and just, I'll let my hate flow. How about that?
Good.
This is the Hockey Troll Hip Check.
Oh, those of you on the live stream are watching me like just stretch out, warm up for this one.
You know, my dad used to say when he was our flag football coach during stretching, he had us trained and he would go, "Why do dogs live so long?" And we'd all go, "Because they stretch." We're like third graders. And then I actually asked him like recently, "Why'd you say that? Dogs live like 15 years. He was like, "I don't know. I guess because of dog years." Anyway, I thought of that because of your stretch.
But shout out, Pat.
Unleash the fury.
Yeah. So what the fuck are you idiots talking about when it comes to center depth and the Washington Capitals team? Like, I've seen, and the reason this has been triggered on me is that, you know, Nova Caps. Awesome little site there. Yeah, I'm calling people out today, Polly. I'm name dropping today.
Yeah.
Nova Caps. I don't know who wrote the article. So apologies. I should shout them out and focus my hate directly onto them. But they published an article that said that like Lars Eller should be exposed in the draft or in the to Seattle. And I'm like, in what fucking world is that a good idea? And then I've seen Kuznetsov for Tarasenko or Kuznetsov for insert whatever fantasy winger that you would want. The only Kuznetsov trade that would be a win for the Washington Capitals if they somehow package the farm into getting Eichel, who is a center. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, you've got to return a center who is NHL second or third line, good second or third line caliber to replace the hole that Kuznetsov is going to leave. And what I mean by that is that you want a center that's going to score 70 fucking points. Ideally. And, you know, because that's even 50, high 50, and is like a super staunch defender. Maybe I would go for that. And PKs, like top number one PK unit is maybe where I'd concede that though. Like a step back from that 70 point total because that's what Kuznetsov has been offering, you know, on a normal year and on even like a kind of a regular year for him should be a 70 point year. Don't you agree? Yeah. Even when he's in the shitter, even when he's bad.
Absolutely. I think, 60 should be his floor.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. With the minutes that he plays and with the talent that he plays with, absolutely. And, you know, let's just take a quick trip down memory lane, and review a little bit of the center strife that the Washington Capitals had. We're going to go all the way back to 2010.
Let's.
2010 featured centers like Keith Acoin, Eric Belanger, Brooks, like, you know, love Brooksy, Brendan Morrison, Matty Perreault, and David Steckel. Okay, all decent players, right? All these guys were all pretty good, but still they could not get it done. And that was probably like 2010 was like one of the Caps team, you know, they had, we still had Simmons. Like, I mean, this was the Young Guns era. Like, we were killing it. You know, we had a ton of offensive firepower at this point, and we were still weak down the middle at this team, right? In 2010, 2011, the Caps were like, oh, fuck, we need to get some center ability here. So what did they do? They went out and got Jason Arnott from New Jersey, who's a stud at the time, veteran center. And we got Matt Hendricks, shootout specialist. He was a fourth liner, but, you know, would drop the gloves. Good brawler. And then we got Mojo, Marcus Johansson, like a guy who stayed with us for several years after as like a third line center. Okay. 2011, 2012, enter Jeff Halpern, Cody fucking Egan, and Jay Beagle. Love Beagles. So we replaced, got that fourth line center kind of like solidified. Beagle at this point was like playing up and down a little bit. He was playing a little third line as well. But like I said, I mean, Jeff Halpern, that's a guy who's had a pretty good NHL career, a good veteran there. Couldn't get it done. And then Cody Eakin, who's bounced around to several teams, including the Pittsburgh Penguins. And didn't he play for the Avalanche as well?
I think so. And
yeah.
Was he in Buffalo?
I think. And I think he eventually made it to Vegas. But again, a guy who's shown his worth in this league. 2012-13, Jesus Christ, it gets somewhat better at that time, but really, really far worse with Mike Ribeiro. Do you remember that guy? Mike Ribeiro?
Mm-hmm.
After he left the Caps, had a big, like, drug issue, like, sexual assault, like, came out, he was a real piece of shit. He's likely face down in a ditch somewhere, but at the time, he wasn't bad. Yeah. And this was somebody that I remember the Caps saying, like, we need to re-sign Ribeiro. And I don't think it ever happened. I can't remember. But that's another failed experiment. 2013 and 14. Michael Lotta. Love him, you know. Real good dude. Tom Wilson and Burakovsky's friend there. I mean, you know, probably not a, you know, like a top NHL talent by any means and kind of washed out a bit, but a solid player nonetheless. And then Mikhail Grabowski. The Belarusian. Who everybody was pretty high on there. I mean, we acquired him and tried to plug that hole. Second line, third line center. 2015-2016. Mike Richards, Daniel Winnick, Chandler Stephenson. Chandler Stephenson's playing top line center movements in or minutes for Vegas this last playoffs. The number one center, possible number one center. Probably better slotted into second, third line center, but still a solid player. Daniel Winnick, you know, at this point he was a little older, and same with Mike Richards. But, you know, these were all centermen that we thought were going to like help get us over the hump, you know? Mm-hmm. Then, so, okay. So that's like 20 centers that we went through. Like, and over a 6-year period, okay? Then in 2016, we hit pay dirt with Eller, a.k.a. linchpin to the Stanley Cup. Okay. During this time, McPhee was literally shit-canned, technically not re-signed as a GM, for not being able to plug his second center hole properly, but not for lack of trying. And when I say second, I mean second, third line center, right? You know, at this point, Kuznetsov had come over, right? So things were starting to solidify, but we could not get that third line center position solidified. And this is like a 6-year struggle. Every year it was the same thing. We need to be better down the middle. We need to be better down the middle. All the while, you know, the year before this whole timeline that I just started happened, the Penguins win the cup because of, you know, you guessed it, center depth, right? That was a big part of their run. And then, you know, they went back to back after we got Eller. And those series that we played when they went back to back were literally coin toss series. I mean, they were separated by one goal.
Yeah.
So he you know, McPhee tried, He tried many different things. And ultimately it became an issue where so big that he had to be fired. Or not re-signed, I'm sorry. But you don't get re-signed as a GM. I feel like that's basically your walking papers, right?
Right.
And so remember this timeline, Caps fans. Barry Trotz gets hired in 2014. Eller gets picked up in 2016. And the Caps win a cup in 2018. That's a, you know, it's a 4-year, every 2 years something big happens. But it has taken us here over a decade to get here, Caps fans, just to like be a top contender in the division, continuing with along with the Ovechkin era, and finally get him that third line center to win a cup. So if we move Kuzi, like, you know, that leads me to the, it begs the question, who is a suitable replacement? And, you know, why would you want to get Tarasenko to back up Ovechkin, like an older, slower Verana? I mean, at this point, you would think Tarasenko probably plays on the top power play line with Ovi, right?
Right.
But like on regular 5-on-5 play, he's going to be behind Ovechkin, right?
Right.
So, I mean, I don't know what's going on here.
I'm just stretching on our live.
Okay. My legs. So, you know, at this point, I'd rather plug the hole that Kuzi potentially leaves with a veteran center. Like, I would much rather have a veteran center than if we're going to move for somebody.
Yeah.
Right? Because we're not interested in picks. We're interested in win now. We're trying to win now. The farm is up for sale, right? So I'm looking at free agency, and again, this could change. And when I looked, I mean, names that stuck out to me were like Krejci. He's like 35, but the dude's still putting up points, and he's a solid third line center and plays very well defensively.
Yeah, he would be a nice addition.
You've also got Zach Hyman from Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
You know, had a really good breakout year and has kind of floundered since, but is young. So it could be, the juice could be worth the squeeze. You know, we're looking at like the year he comes in and maybe after. Blake Coleman, speedy, third line center that could contribute to wing or to the points production and the PK. And, you know, you look at this and again, we're stuck back to like that time, basically 2010 to 2016, where we have a solid fourth line. We have a top two lines that are great, but the third line keeps us exposed, right? You know, I was also looking at like Stastny. That's your boy.
Yeah.
Good old American boy.
Yeah, man. He's still got something left in the tank.
Yeah, and I mean, that'd be like a 1-2 year deal. Weinberg, Granlund even, who I think Granlund ended up getting moved already since I've wrote this, but you know, even like a Nick Bonino. I mean, now we're reaching.
Yeah.
So the list is short. And I think that what people are probably like listening to me right now, they're probably getting all fucking pissed off because they're like, well, what about Connor McMichael? He's played one game, 10 minutes in the show, and was invisible. You know, we were talking to Richard Blosser, who's the Hershey podcast on the Hockey Podcast Network. And that is, he says like, look, I mean, and even he is high on McMichael because McMichael led the team last year in scoring in their like abbreviated season where they only played like two or three opponents. He led the team in scoring, but you know, I think it wasn't like he was getting a hat trick every night. And I feel like that's the type of center that you can plug for Kuznetsov, not some kid who's like showing somewhat of promise here, you know?
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's a good point.
Yeah. So I don't know, man. It's a sticky situation. And the list, I think, is very short for who we could try to attain for Kuznetsov in a trade. I am interested to see, because we found out that he's protected. Like, are they going to try to figure it out? Are they going to have like a group therapy session?
seems like that that's where it's heading.
Because I don't think that if it, okay, let me pitch it to you this way, Polly. If I could get you Kuznetsov to play a 70-point season a year, would you be comfortable with keeping him and paying him his like what, like $8 million a year or something that he makes?
Yep.
Yeah. I would too. And you know, if he cuts out the shithead antics as well.
Yeah.
And hey, you know what? Maybe the Caps have no real unless the deal is amazing, they have no real motivation to actually trade Kuznetsov. Maybe this is just a scare tactic, and I kind of hope it is.
Yeah, me too. I like that he's a Capital.
Right. So, man, it's a sticky situation, Caps fans. It really is. And I just don't want to hear anybody, I don't want anybody out there to sell themselves lies about how deep the Washington Capitals are at center, because in fact, we are not deep at all in that position. And when we became sufficiently deep in that position with the addition of Lars Eller, so that was Backstrom, Kuznetsov, Eller, Beagle, when we became sufficiently deep at that position, we won a cup in 2 years. Now, I just don't think that we have anybody on the farm who's ready, because again, you know, this is like a first round pick that we would need to do this. So it would be like a Connor McMichael archetype, that type of first round pick to go in. I don't think that we have it except for in McMichael, but McMichael is, I still think, a year out from being a 100% full-time NHLer.
Yeah, he's still got development. And if we're looking to replace Kuznetsov right now, we don't have it in the farm.
Right. Boom. That completes the rant. Thanks for coming to my TED Talk.
You're welcome.
All right. So, Caps fans, there's a little truth for you. Don't sell yourself lies. We need a really good center. And like I said, I'm willing to pay for him. But again, he's got to fit under the cap and he's got to be good. So, Paulie, are you ready to do your snack time?
Yeah.
All right. Here we go.
It's snack time. Polly Cupcakes. So, the expansion draft happens July 21st. If you're watching this, if you're listening, it happened yesterday.
Yep.
And I just wanted to talk about the fact that there were five captains who were left unprotected. Ryan Getzlaf in Anaheim, Mark Giordano, Calgary, Gabriel Landeskog, Colorado, Shea Weber in Montreal, and our very own greatest goal scorer of all time, Alex Ovechkin, Washington. So, we'll start with Getzlaf. You know, it's been kind of, people have been talking about how they're uncertain of his future. You know, right. Corey Perry, they've shipped him off
sure.
a couple years ago. Right. You know, Getzlaf is reaching the twilight of his career.
Reaching? Shit.
Yeah, right.
I think he's in it, man.
So, he's 36, and he's going to be a UFA. So, a couple of these guys are. And, you know, maybe it's similar to the Ovechkin situation where they think they won't pick him because he's going to want too much. Or they just, you know, he's not worth protecting because of his state and his career.
Right.
I would say on this list, this makes the most sense.
Sure.
Getzlaf, the only reason I think he would be protected is because he's the captain.
Right. Well, do you think that you know, if this was a regular year, he would be getting another contract from Anaheim?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I agree. I don't think so either.
I think they're kind of in a rebuild right now. Or not even a rebuild, but they've got some young guys, and they're just going to try to lean on that. I think Getzlaf ends up with a Joe Thornton, Patrick Marleau situation, and he goes and finds a young team that he thinks is going to give him a chance at a cup.
And takes, like, league minimum for, like, a year.
Yeah.
I agree. What were his numbers like this past season? They couldn't have been good. Anaheim was not good at all. He's older and, you know, to re-sign him.
Well, he had 5 goals, 12 assists.
Yeah, that's bad.
Yeah. As a forward, this isn't the most accurate stat, but he was a minus 43.
Minus 43?
I'm sorry. Minus 14.
Minus 14.
43 penalty minutes.
Okay.
But, you know, he was definitely underperforming, for sure.
Yeah, and I mean, this is his worst season in recent history, but he was kind of like on pace for a normal season for him.
Well, he was making 8.25.
Right.
And he put up 17 points.
Yeah.
So, I guess that explains why he's not protected.
Right. And here's the thing as well. I mean, if this one is a wash for the Ducks, right? I mean, if he gets picked up, okay, he gets picked up. That's good. Good for him. If he doesn't get picked up, he gets lowballed on offer, basically out of courtesy, because he is the captain, like you said. But he's looking at like a third line center, maybe?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah, I mean, the Ducks haven't made the playoffs in like 3 years. They're definitely needing to rebuild out there in the Pacific. So, and with a new team coming in, you know, it's going to be rough. So, I think this is the least shocking.
For sure.
Of them. So, who's next?
So, Calgary's captain, mm-hmm. Mark Giordano, 2 years removed from the, what's the defense award?
Norris,
there yeah. It is.
Scoring a ridiculous amount of points during that season, by the way.
Yeah. And they're exposing him. He's got 1 year left, 6.75. I think he's still worth the money. Yeah. As a defenseman, let's see here real quick. Okay. So, I mean, he had more points than Getzlaf. He had 9 goals and 17 assists. And he was a plus 5. So, definitely, out of these two, this is the most surprising.
Right, and I say he gets picked up by Seattle here. He's still got a little bit in the tank. He's got, like, what, a couple years, you said, left on the contract?
He's got one year on the contract. He's 37 years old. I wouldn't be surprised if they take him and they just ride out the 1 year. See how it goes.
Right. I mean, why not? The dude's a stud. He's had a great career. He's offensively gifted. He could play the power play. He can anchor your defensive core. He can bring that leadership quality. You know, all the stuff that you would like in a expansion team and a new crew. Now, do you think he gets like a C or an A if he does go to the Kraken?
Let's save that for the end.
Okay.
Alright, so our next guy is Gabriel Landeskog.
Oh, never heard of him.
Never? So he is an upcoming UFA.
Right.
he was making this year 5.5 and some change.
Cool.
And the kind of numbers he's been putting up, you know, this year, 52 points in 54 games. 44 points in 54 games last year. He's had 75 and 62 points in full seasons.
And he's a winger?
He's a center.
Oh, a center.
And so...
He's a Swede, right?
He's a Swede.
Bro.
He's been captain. They named him when he was 19. He's right. 28. And I've been reading some reports that he might be looking at like 8 or 9. And that's part of the reason why he might not be getting signed, because McKinnon's going to be needing to get paid soon.
Right.
And McCarr is going to be coming off his entry level pretty soon. Now, update to what I said. This is the biggest surprise to me so far.
You think?
Well, okay, so when you look at the Avalanche on their protection and available list, there's a lot of names you would have wanted to protect that you couldn't.
Right.
You know, they've got a very good team. It's not surprising in that he's a pending UFA. It is surprising because he's a 9-year captain who's putting up very good numbers.
Right, right.
But, you know, Joe Sakic has basically been juggling knives with the cap for the last 5 years. And I think he's ruthless.
Right.
As a GM. You know, ultimate competitor. He doesn't spare feelings. That's for right. sure.
Sure.
And as, you know, fans, listeners have heard, I'm also an Avalanche fan. So this one hurts a little bit. I love Gabe.
Yeah.
But, you know, if Joe's not going to find a way to pay him, if he wants to get paid, he deserves it. I mean, he's putting up Kuznetsov numbers.
Right.
So he should be getting Kuznetsov money.
I agree. I just don't know if it's there. And I, from Tell It As It Is podcast, our podcast for the Colorado Avalanche on the Hockey Podcast Network, they've been tweeting that talks have really deteriorated on both sides.
Yeah.
But again, if you expose him, he's a UFA, a pending UFA, right? So he could do an Ovechkin.
Right. And, you know, maybe that's part of Joe's plan.
Right.
Yeah, maybe they're feeding people false information.
Right. Some FUD.
Yeah. I mean, with all the leaks that happen, first of all, if I was in this business, I'd be so pissed that there's a source that leaks shit.
Right.
But, like, with all the stuff that gets leaked, I think if I were a GM, I'd be leaking, like...
Counter-propaganda?
Yeah. Especially if you knew, like, who was a source for different outlets.
Right, right. Like,
say something ridiculous in a meeting and then see it get printed.
Right.
But, yeah, I really hope to see him come back. If he gets drafted or signs with someone else, I think they name McKinnon captain by the end of August.
Interesting. Interesting. Okay. So who's next?
Next is Shea Weber. Let me pull him up here. So, I guess I wasn't entirely surprised with this.
Okay.
But still a little bit. You know, he's not quite as old as some of the other guys. Well, he's 35.
Right, and let's be honest here. Shea Weber, he's getting paid a ton, right? Like, how much is his contract? Like, I thought it was like $10 million or something.
Yeah, well, so it's 7.8 until 2026.
All right. So, and also, Shea Weber is also like, I've heard the retirement word getting kicked around in reference to Weber.
When you retire, you forfeit all your money, right?
Right. And how many years does he have left?
Six
years on that contract?
Four.
Five. Okay. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, he'd be forfeiting almost $40 million.
Yeah, I guess I would probably try to be playing too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so his last season, again, right around Getzlaff, he had 19 points.
Right.
6 goals, 13 assists. In the playoffs, 1 goal, 5 assists.
But that's not his jam. You know, he's a more of a stay-at-home guy.
Well, right? He is, but and that's the thing. Even with being a stay-at-home guy, he's still contributing.
Right.
And I think whenever something happened in any of the Montreal series, the first thing I would think is, well, now they're going to have to deal with Shea Weber.
Right. Exactly.
Right. I mean, he's very valuable. You know, side thing here. Carey Price probably the closest thing to a captain that's not a captain.
Right.
And I think they're playing, we dare you to draft him because he's getting paid so much.
Right, right.
And he's in his mid-30s.
But, I mean, you know, and I mean, it's not completely the same, but Derek England was picked up by Vegas and was, like, a huge part of, like, that team in the sense of, like, leadership and all that shit, right? Though Derek England was not making $6 million against cap. Imagine him and Giordano on that team though.
Shea Weber.
Yeah, and Gio.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
It'd be expensive. It'd be incredibly expensive.
Yeah, but the rest of their blue line would have to come from the A.
Right, or be cheap.
Right.
Maybe that would reduce the Brendan Dillon chances. And look, I mean, I think that contract was unsettling to Nashville. They did straight up for PK, who also had an unsettling contract. And again, we're with the cap being the way it is, we're again at that unsettling has turned into fuck, get this away from me now.
Right.
You know, and you look at Montreal and they're paying Carey Price $10 million, but they've exposed him. Like, so who knows, man? I would suspect that Shea Weber probably stays in Montreal, though.
Yeah.
Because you only get one. And if you got Carey Price or Shea Weber, who are you going to take?
I'd take Carey Price.
Right.
Yeah. And then the final guy, Ovechkin. Not going to get too much into this because we've talked about it plenty.
Right. We already know he's going to fucking just sign like minutes after the draft, hopefully. Yeah. Honestly, this could be old news by the time you're listening. He's already signed another contract with the Caps.
Yeah.
$13 million a year.
Out of the 5 out of 31 captains that were exposed, I think Gabriel Landeskog is the most upsetting to me, but come to think of it, Giordano is probably the biggest surprise.
Yeah.
I would say. So you look at these 5 guys. Imagine they all get drafted by Seattle. No. I'm going to take Ovechkin because you're just going to default to him.
Right.
Minus Ovechkin. Getzlaff, Giordano, Landeskog, Shea Weber. Out of those 4, which one doesn't get a letter on his jersey, and which one is the captain out of the 3?
Getzlaff doesn't get a letter.
Okay.
Landy's captain, and the other 2 are A.
Yeah, I like that.
Actually, I take it back. Weber doesn't get a moniker. He doesn't get an A or a C. Giordano gets the A, Landy gets the C.
And Getzlaff gets an A.
Getzlaff gets nothing.
Oh, so you're
there's you're not yeah, someone even else gets the other A.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, even though I love Landy, I think Shea Weber gets the C. Landeskog and Giordano get the A's.
Interesting. I could see it, but I feel like at this point Shea Weber wouldn't need like in that room, I don't think he'd need that any of that. I don't think that he's that impactful player as he was 5 years ago, but at the same point, I think he still does the captain shit, without having the title.
Yeah, and probably they all would. And right. then maybe they think Landeskog's 28, so we'll give it to him. And then the other guys don't need it, but they'll be there doing it.
Exactly.
So they'd have end up having like 7 captains instead of 3.
Right, and then you can kind of take the you can take a up and comer that is a fan favorite that, you know, has proven themselves and go A on him. But you know what, the Knights didn't name captains.
No, it took like, well, it wasn't until Mark Stone.
Right.
They went with 3 A's for a couple seasons.
Yeah. So they might go that route too. Well, and if that's the case, yeah, I mean, I think that maybe you give Shea Weber the A there. If it's just 3 A's.
Yeah. Well, if they don't draft Landeskog, I hope that Pat Maroon is the first captain in Kraken history. Oh my God. It would have been, if he was left exposed, it would have been nice if TJ Oshie was the first captain, if they had drafted him, which obviously is impossible.
Right.
But that would Pauly, have been...
Pauly, why are you even putting that into the fucking atmosphere right now?
I like to think of things coming full circle.
TJ Oshie is a fucking capital. That's the end of the circle.
I know.
That's the end of the thing that never ends.
I'm big on speculation, conjecture.
Right. Fair, obviously. Obviously. But...
Well, you know, we
have... I get what you're saying, and it would be kind of cool, because he's, like, hometown guy.
Yeah.
Came up in the junior system there.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Oshie, that is, right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I just... It's interesting. You know, I think when you look at it not from the business standpoint, you always assume that the captains are, like, untouchable.
Right. Know? Yeah.
So
it's like a franchise card in football.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. You like that? You like that fucking football reference? Like,
look
bro?
At you. Look at you. You know, and while you were doing your segment, we had, you know, a couple viewers, and I noticed that when my segment came around, we ended up at 0. So anyone
Dude, it's
who's
midnight.
Anyone who's still listening when this drops audio, and whoever is our current one viewer, thanks for bearing with me.
Absolutely. That was a good segment. And I mean, it's going to be crazy to see. I think that a lot of surprises are out. I think that a lot of teams have just succumbed to their fate and had to have justified this through the business side of it. Mm-hmm. You know, to your point, like they need, like the cap is flat. They need to shed it. They know that no one, because the cap is flat, that nobody else is a buyer, because they are also experiencing the same problem.
Right.
And they're using this to give, you know, the business has justified doing the kind of like somewhat good guy thing and just taking that contract, unloading it onto the new expansion team and having them be a leader there and contributing. I think that the teams have very much just kind of said, like, well, you know, we're going to have to take this bullet. Might as well just lean into it.
Yeah.
Interesting stuff. Well, Capstones, obviously, you know how this ends as far as the draft. But, you know, we're recording on a Sunday, so we're a little outdated. We hope that you've really liked this episode and enjoy kind of like us doing a little bit of mental masturbation. Remember that the caps aren't fucking deep down the middle, and you know, we'll just move on from there, and we'll you now know that the mayhem that is unfolded and who the Seattle Kraken have poached from all of the other teams.
And caps and non-caps fans, appreciate your captains.
Yeah, exactly. Appreciate them while they last, because nothing is infinite.
If you don't love them, somebody else will.
Wow. Pauly's unpacking some really deep-seated issues here. But so with that note, we're going to end it here. You know, if you like the podcast, or really if you don't, we don't give a shit. If you could at least give us a 5-star rating.
5 stars only.
That would be amazing. Until next week, Caps fans, Hockey Troll, Poly Cupcakes, signing off. Hey, Caps fans. Thanks for tuning in to the official Caps Turn podcast, repping the greatest team in the NHL. Follow me, the Hockey Troll, at Hockey Trolling on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
And follow me, Poly Cupcakes, at Cupcake Poly on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok.
And follow the show's handle, at Caps Chirp, on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Special thanks to the Hockey Podcast Network, at HockeyPodNet on social, and thehockeypodcastnetwork.com. The Hockey Podcast Network, every team, everywhere. Check them out, or we're not friends anymore.